Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode number 311.
Welcome, fellow travelers. It's time for another episode of the RV Podcast.
Answering your questions, sharing tips, suggesting great trips and off-the-beaten-path adventures, and always staying on top of the RV lifestyle news you need to know about with great interviews and inside industry information.
Here's your hosts, award-winning journalists Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
Hey, everybody. Hey, you by now have certainly heard of the term mooch docking, right? A variation on the boondocking trend that's so popular? Well, boondocking is typically off-grid camping in remote areas. Mooch docking is camping, usually without hookups, in people's driveways or the back of their property. We're going to learn about that in a new website that'll help you find places to inexpensively mooch dock in the interview of the week, coming up a little bit later on. Also this week on episode 311, we've got lots of RV news, your questions, and a fun and entertaining off-the-beaten-path report from Tom and Patty Burkett. So welcome, everybody. We're glad you put us in your ears this week. Well, it is after Labor Day now, and we should be seeing kind of a slowdown in RV, at least RV camping. We should be, but this is not a normal year. Welcome to my lifelong traveling companion now and my bride, Jennifer. Hi, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
An unusual year we have, I guess, to say it lightly, right?
Right.
Yeah. But a nice year.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, it's unusual, but there's good things that can come from unusual as well.
Like a little more time to hang out together.
Families taking the kids and having them learn while they're RVing.
I think that's great. Just finished Labor Day, and we hope everybody had a very fantastic Labor Day. We stayed put. We kind of figured, well, normally we stay away on holidays. We let everybody who can't get out as often perhaps as we can to enjoy the campgrounds and the parks and the boondocking spots. But a lot of people camping, lots of people. But we did kind of an informal survey of campers and campground hosts and people that we know over the weekend on our various social media platforms. And we're hearing that more RVers than normal will continue camping through the rest of the month and even into this fall.
Yeah, with people working at home, they can do this.
And their kids are studying remotely. Home, so if you got an internet, make your home your RV, right?
I hope it doesn't rain.
Could be a long day. Yeah. Kids and you working all in the same space. But anyway, I've been looking around because we're planning a trip in a week or so to go up and look at some fall colors in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And good grief, places that normally we could just walk in, breeze in, we never even thought of a reservation, they're filled up. Campgrounds are filled, and we hear that. We ask people on social media over the weekend, and we ask all those camping to check with their campgrounds where they're staying and ask them what it's like for the rest of the year, and everybody reports much, much busier than normal. So
the places that are open are busy.
Yeah, they are. The weather has been great, and I don't know if everybody's been looking at our blog, rvlifestyle.com. I always have to point that out because a lot of people just listen to us on the podcast, and I don't think even know we have a blog, let alone a YouTube channel and a newsletter and all of our books. But anyway, the blog, we've been doing a lot of planning, thinking about next year when things hopefully will be back to normal and our trips this fall. And we have been putting lots of guides together in different places, different states, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, Colorado. And this week we put a big one up on rvlifestyle.com about 15 great beachfront RV campgrounds in Florida. And that was really fun to put together, and all the pictures. We've been to so many of those awesome beachfront properties, and it makes me kind of long for the beach too.
I know.
But first I want to go up and look at the color.
Yep. First we got to do our Upper Peninsula.
We're usually down in Georgia, at least for the last 8 years. We've been down in Georgia watching high school football with our grandkids.
How about the last 15 years? Since the kids have gone down.
Yeah,
when they moved
that's
down
right.
There,
even
we were
when
down
they played
there for soccer and baseball.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it's pretty empty.
So we don't have any grandkids and grandsons anyway down there in football. We do have a couple of teenage granddaughters in high school, but they're up here.
We have one grandson in Nashville now playing baseball.
Yep, but so that's a little closer. But no fall football. So we are, in a sense, kind of excited about that because that means we can go enjoy our favorite part of the world, which is the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And fall is the best time, right?
Right. And football wouldn't look the same.
No, right.
What was it? In our community, they can have 100 fans.
That's it. Yeah,
and they the figured kids you have to wear a mask.
You could have 2 fans per player.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
But yeah, that's what it was.
I thought I've heard 100 people in the stadium.
That's the cap, but it's two fans per player, per team.
Well, when our son Scott played, didn't they have like 50 kids on the team?
Yeah, well, I don't
know
how
they're
going to. I don't know how they're going to. Well, there you go. That's 100 people.
What are you getting down to, one person per kid?
I don't know. It's insane. It's insane. But, you know, the whole year has been crazy. We don't know what to make. Everything is up and down. And the one thing that is the bright spot for so many people has been RVing and camping and getting outside. And that's good. That's about the most healthy activity there is.
And more people are riding their bicycles and taking walks.
Yeah.
I mean, we're seeing a lot more people, even when we go to our little parks to go for a walk. I mean, you can hardly get a parking spot.
Yeah. And that's good. All that stuff
it's
is
all good.
So anyway, we have a lot to talk about on this podcast. Lots of news, lots of tips, and a great interview about a new mooch docking service. But first, let's tell you that this part of the podcast is brought to you by Camping World. We kind of like to think of the Camping World stores around the country, 225 locations. We kind of like to think that as a RV oasis because it's there you can pull in and we always find, you know, if we need parts or accessories or supplies, those Camping World stores are like golden. And by the way, we have a complete page with all the RV and camping supplies that Jennifer and I use and recommend. And even better, listeners of the podcast can get 10% off all the purchases over $99 they make if you go to rvlifestyle.com/campingworld. RVLifestyle.com/campingworld. You'll see all of the Camping World RV gear and the accessories that we like the most. You have to have a discount code and it's just RVLifestyle10. RVLifestyle10. And again, the website where we list all that stuff is RVLifestyle.com/campingworld. It's in our show notes. So you can go to our show notes, you know, on the RV Lifestyle blog and you can find them there too. But you'll find everything you need at a Camping World store, from outdoor furniture, you know, even the ground mats. We need a new one of those. That's what we're going to buy next. Appliances, the things that you see us use in our videos and talk about here in the podcast. Little RV extras, everything from camping chairs to fire pits and electrical accessories. It's pretty neat. Check it out. The RV products and accessories we like, you can find them at rvlifestyle.com/campingworld. RVLifestyle.com/campingworld and use the coupon code RVLifestyle10.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
More than 200 people in California trying to squeeze in a little camping over the Labor Day weekend had to be evacuated by military helicopters after a fast-moving wildfire came upon them, sending more than 20 to the hospital, at least 2 with critical injuries. The campers were near Mammoth Pool Reservoir in the Sierra National Forest in north-central California. The fire started Friday night and by Saturday blocked the only exit to Mammoth Pool Reservoir, trapping the campers as fire spread on all sides. The National Guard sent helicopters in to rescue people, taking more than 200 to safety. One evacuee shot some terrifying video of what the campground looked like before he was rescued. We will link to it in the show notes at rvlifestyle.com/311. That's rvlifestyle.com/311. Wildfires have been a major problem in much of the West, and California especially is hard hit.
Well, if you decided to take a last-minute road trip this past weekend, it turns out you were in the majority. You ready for this? We looked at the figures, and it's pretty amazing. 60% of all Americans traveled over the weekend. 60%. 88% by vehicle. Also, the majority of those traveling headed out further from home than they did during the Memorial Day weekend. And the stats are coming from a survey that was done by Cars.com. The info collected was pretty similar to what the AAA reports. They indicated that 97% of all Americans were vacationing by vehicles this summer. And that corresponds to what we've been hearing out there in the middle of this pandemic. And not too long ago, we had you call in and tell us what life is like out there on the road. And it verifies all that. This is truly the year of RV traveling. And it's just amazing how many people are out there.
If you're shopping for a used RV online, the Better Business Bureau has a warning. Beware of scams. As more people are shopping for an RV as a way to travel in this time of a pandemic, scammers are spotting an opportunity to make a quick, dishonest buck by listing RVs for sale that do not exist. To avoid being scammed, the Better Business Bureau suggests the buyer ask the seller for a FaceTime interview and a video walkthrough. Ask for VINs and more. We also recommend that, if possible, you hire an RV inspector to look over the RV to make sure it is in the condition claimed by the seller. We did a whole podcast episode about buying an RV and getting it inspected. I'll put a link to it on the show notes for this episode at rvlifestyle.com/311. Again, that's rvlifestyle.com/311.
Well, an American family was fined $2,000 and expelled from Canada last week, the latest of Americans being punished for violating the country's Quarantine Act. Americans are permitted to enter Canada if they are going straight through to or from Alaska and the lower 48 states, but they are not permitted to go to national parks, to do any of the leisure attractions or tourism visits. They are only permitted to stop for food, gas, or sleep, and they got to be right on the road headed straight up towards Alaska. And they're required to have a tag stating the day that they entered Canada and the day they have to be out. And this tag is what gave the latest quarantine-violating Americans away. They entered British Columbia on August 25th, and on August 29th, they were found vacationing in Vancouver. They were supposed to be going to Alaska straight through, but they just crossed over and were hanging out in Vancouver. Well, once discovered, they were fined $2,000 and then escorted to the Peace Arch border crossing.
Speaking of Canada, as the Canadian-American border remains closed to non-essential travel because of COVID-19, Canada's National Private Campground Association is looking ahead. The group estimates Canada has about 50,000 to 200,000 Canadian snowbirds who live or travel in an RV in Canada in the warm weather, the U.S. South in the winter. If the border remains closed, they will need somewhere to go. And the group is suggesting a partnership with hotels, since many of the seasonal Canadian campgrounds can't operate in the winter. There are increasing indications that the border may be closed until 2021.
Yeah, you know, we put a little notice about that up on our Facebook page, our RV Lifestyle Facebook page, not the group, the page. And I couldn't believe all of the vitriol that it brought from Canadians angry at America for having so many COVID cases. And it was just ugly, like so much on Facebook. But many of them saying, you know, they're not coming to America. Many of them saying they don't want Americans there. And usually Canadians and Americans always seem to get along well. But even now, that this brought a lot of vitriol and a lot of resentment in Canada about Americans, you know, trying to sneak through that quarantine, because they have not been affected nearly as bad as we have, you know.
They're lucky they haven't been. We've got a lot more people.
Yep,
a lot more people don't follow rules.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Hey, this part of the podcast brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, America's number one e-bike brand, offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes, now with free shipping and a special discount to listeners of the RV podcast. The reason that they are so awesome is that consumer relationship they have. They bypass all the middlemen and the traditional retail model, and they deal directly with you. And as a result of that, you can usually get a Rad Power Bike for about half the cost of comparable e-bikes on the market. And Rad Power bikes are built for everything. They're priced for everybody. They offer a series of different e-bike models. They fit a wide variety of rider wants and needs. They can all get to 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling. But the thing that's fun about a Rad Power bike is you can pedal, and you can ride pedal-free if you want with the throttle, or you can pedal, and then you've got like five different levels of pedal assist that you can use whenever you want an added boost. You can combine pedaling and the throttle. It's just so much fun. Rad Power bikes are perfect for people who want to get back into riding. They're really popular with RVers this day. You can ride between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge. They're so simple to put together. They're shipped to you free. And if you mention RV Lifestyle at checkout, you will get an additional $75 off. Plus, you get free shipping on all their bike models. Again, use the promo code RV Lifestyle, and you'll get $75 off the price. Visit them at radpowerbikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
All right, this question comes in from a listener named Wendy, and she says, "The newbie here, we are quite confused about where to get clean water to fill the freshwater tank when we're boondocking or dry camping and we run low. How do you do it?" Well, one of the things, Wendy, that we have done in the past is we use 1 gallon water containers. You can pick those up, you know, in the supermarket, carry them with you. Our RV has a short hose and a valve that will suck water out of the water jugs and put it directly into the freshwater tank. You can also use it, by the way, for winterizing. It's really great for getting antifreeze in there. And it comes standard on our Leisure Travel Vans RV, but it's a pretty common little accessory. If you just go to your RV shop and tell them what you want, they can usually set you up with a very similar system, and it's not terribly expensive. But if you don't have such a system, we've heard of people who in an emergency will take an empty soda bottle and they'll cut a rectangular hole in it, and then it kind of forms a little right angle, and they can use that as a funnel. They pour in water from the gallon jug into that little empty soda bottle, and then that goes directly into the RV. We've never tried that, but that's what some people say they have done in an emergency situation when you run out of water. I think a better solution for most RVers is to use something called a water bandit. This is such a simple little part. It costs like, I think, $8. And it has a 3/4 inch threaded brass connector on one end that should connect to your city water connection. And the other end is open. It's a highly flexible silicone polymer type sleeve. And it will stretch over to fit on the end of pretty much any standard water source, like a gallon water jug, like we mentioned, making it really easy to pour it into the tank. This water bandit thing, it says, I think it's $8, and we'll put a Amazon link in the show notes for you. Just go to the show notes, rvlifestyle.com/311. Something else that we have done more recently is to have a heavy-duty collapsible 5 gallon water container. It only costs, I think, $12 for these things on Amazon, and we'll put a link to that as well. But this water container is pretty empty when it's, or pretty nice when it's empty. It's very small. It folds right up, collapses up, and so you can just stick it in one of your storage cabinets. When I fill up the RV freshwater tank, if we're going to be out boondocking and we're worried about running out of freshwater, I can also fill up that collapsible water container. And that way, again, if we're boondocking for a while, we run low, we just have that extra supply, and we siphon that in, and we can get an extra, I think it's 5.3 gallons that thing holds. Well, like I said, Wendy posted that question on our RV Lifestyle Facebook group, and it brought in more than 40 responses from members. So let me read you some of the advice that other members give about what you do when you're out boondocking and you run out of fresh water. Jack says, "I top off at home before I leave, and I often top off at a paid campsite before leaving there to go boondocking. Most truck stops have water hoses at all or near the pumps that you can use to top off. Any gas station would probably let you top off, especially if you tip the attendant a little extra money. If you use a small pump you can pump creek water in if you can get close enough, but make sure you chlorinate it to fill any bacteria or parasites. I think I'll skip on that one, Jack, but I guess that would work. Dave says, I use several 3-gallon water junks with handles. Much easier to carry 2 3-gallon jugs than 1 5-gallon jug, unless it's collapsible like ours. All the drinking water we use goes through a water filter first. Renee says some fire stations will let you fill up your freshwater tank. That's a good tip. Cindy, we also carry a 60-gallon tank in the back of our truck. You can get those at places like Camping World. They're like a big bladder. It's usually on wheels, so you don't have to lift it. You can carry that around. So we also carry one of those in the back of our truck. We have a small transfer pump that pumps into the camper. And between coffee and washing, we always run out of water before our gray and black tanks are full. And then Robert says, we boondock nearly all of the time. Water's never been an issue, nor have we ever paid for water. Gas stations, parks, a few stores, and a brewery have helped us out. And you also need to have that water bandit that we talked about, says Jack. You know, we have a whole page of all of the products Jennifer and I use and recommend. We were on our live Facebook or our live Facebook and YouTube Sunday night show, and people keep asking for stuff. And I can't remember it. And so I've gone back and I've updated this page. But
well, that's good.
Yeah. And now it'll sit in front of us all the time when people say, well, what's that you use? And I can then give them the name of it. But we did put this page together, and I know some of you are driving and it's hard to remember resources. Just remember, we put them all in the show notes for every episode, and you can find those at rvlifestyle.com, our travel blog. But if you're at a place where you can write it down, if you just go to rvlifestyle.com/gear, that's where you'll see. I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff because we talk about products and gear that we either personally use or we recommend, and it's all in one spot, so I don't have to kind of remember it. But we linked that water bandit up there. It's on there. And we linked that collapsible water jug if you think that's something you want, and many, many other things. So just go to it. Check it out. rvlifestyle.com/gear. So, hey, we love your questions. And you can ask them by our Facebook group, by email, or this way.
Hey, fellow travelers. Want to have your voice featured on the RV podcast?
Send us your questions or comments. Send an audio file to mike@rvlifestyle.com. Or better yet, use our RV podcast voicemail number, 586-372-6990. 586-372-6990.
We want to hear from you. Call 586-372-6990.
And this part of the podcast is brought to you by Battleborn Batteries, makers of quality, safe, reliable lithium batteries. We've been talking about boondocking. A little bit, we're going to talk about mooch docking. This is a way to get out there, and stay out there without having to rely on plug-ins and hookups. These lithium batteries, man, they let you have sustained adventures off the grid. They offer better performance. They charge faster. Lithium batteries charge fuller, meaning you get more juice out of them. They're longer lasting. It takes forever to drain them. They're maintenance free, and their team of battery experts at Battleborn Batteries, they can help you out with whatever existing components you have in your RV. Chances are they have a lithium battery solution that will literally drop into whatever size travel trailer or motorized RV battery connections you have right now. They're all protected by a 10-year guarantee, and they can match your lithium power system with the right cabling, the right inverter, the right charger or solar controller. We have Battleborn batteries in our RV. We rely on it when we go out there boondocking off the grid. And if you want to learn more about it, it's real simple. Just go to rvlifestyle.com/lithium. That's rvlifestyle.com/lithium.
Time now for the RV Podcast Interview of the Week. Interesting, entertaining, and helpful information about the RV lifestyle. Here's Mike with this week's interview.
Well, as I said, you have probably heard of the term mooch docking by now, a kind of a variation on the boondocking trend that is so popular with RVers these days. And while boondocking is typically off-grid camping, it's usually in remote areas. Moochdocking is off-grid most of the time without hookups, but it's camping in people's driveways, sometimes family, sometimes friends, sometimes at the back of their property, and sometimes, as we're going to learn right now, from people who just want to share and maybe make a little extra money, very inexpensive. We're going to learn about a new website that is out there called moochdocker.com, moochdocker.com. And it will help you find inexpensive places to moochdock. And that is still another resource now, a new resource for RVers who want to avoid overcrowded, overpriced campgrounds. Well, on the other end of our podcast line is Suzanne Lankford. She is the founder of moochdocker.com. And we're going to learn all about that in the interview of the week now. Suzanne, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Mike. I'm happy to be here.
Well, tell us, first of all, a lot of people don't know that term. They're still figuring out boondocker. What is the term moochdocker all about?
So we kind of came up with that concept from moochdocking. And moochdocking is typically when you stay on somebody else's property, normally like a friend or a family member, and you're kind of mooching off of their land or their driveway and not paying. So you're kind of just mooching off their land. So that's how moochdocker came about. We wanted to include like a normal name from RVing that everybody kind of knows, but also want to ingrain that into getting paid, the host getting paid for putting up their land or even driveway.
It's kind of like the concept that, you know, VRBO and all the peer-to-peer rentals. We just had somebody who started one similar thing with church parking lots. So,
oh, yes. So, faithful parking.
Yeah. Tell us, first of all, a little bit about you and how you came to form moochdocker.com.
Absolutely. So I, like many others, wanted the dream road trip and dream like go all around the United States and explore. And of course, that would be in an RV for me. And I saved all my pennies, saved probably for about almost 5 to 7 years, saving up for my dream RV. And it's, actually happened finally in 2016, and I bought my first RV. It was a Chinook, classic Chinook, and I renovated it. But with buying that, I had to drive it from California to Montana, and it was kind of last minute. It was a great deal. I found it, and the owners were selling it within a week, so I kind of had to act fast. And on that drive back from California, I was having such a hard time finding parking or an overnight stay or even a campground, anything to feel secure, to feel safe as a single woman driving alone and traveling alone. A lot of Walmart parking lots and a lot of Cracker Barrels or any of the overnight spots lately, and even gas stations or truck stops are not allowing overnight spots for RVers anymore. So it's that dreaded 2 o'clock in the morning knock on your RV asking you to leave, or even just not feeling safe and not having a restful night of sleep as a single female traveling alone. So go ahead, Mike.
Well, I'm looking at your website now. So you started this thing, but what gave you the idea for moochdocker then?
I wanted a platform that even if you're traveling last minute, or even if you're wanting to spend the night at a farm or spend the night in the wide open on somebody else's property, or even get close to a city where there's not a lot of RV parking and people have these driveways that you can just overnight park in. I wanted to have that opportunity for RVers that is presently not available. And even with these sites that you have to book out 6 months in advance near like national parks or near hotspots, I wanted to create that opportunity to, one, have hosts actually make money because it is kind of a peer-to-peer platform. And then also give RVers that peace of mind that having a spot for the night and not having to worry about it, not having in the back of your mind of not knowing where to park that night.
Now, how many host sites do you have, and where are they located? I'm on your site now. Very, very nice, easy site to look at. But it looks like to me most of them at this point seem to be out west, a lot in Montana, the Pacific Northwest, of course, key destinations for every RVer. But yeah. Where do you see this growing? Are you adding new sites every week? Help us understand.
Absolutely. So right now, we have 50 sites available, and you are correct. Most are in the West, and we are based in Montana. So a lot of our spots are in Montana right now. We have some, actually, we only have one in Florida, and it's quite funny. If anybody's seen The Tiger King on Netflix, it is right near the Big Cat Rescue. So if you want to stay there and visit Big Cat Rescue or, get involved with that, more than welcome. But we are growing. We are trying to get more hosts. So if anybody has people that they know that have land or driveways that they would love to make extra money by just hosting an RVer, we would gladly get them onboarded and up on our site.
Give us an idea of the cost involved. Now, there's no membership fee for anybody using moochdocker.com, right?
Correct. So no membership fee, and you get most of the money that you make for that night. We only take a small percentage, and you make the rest of that money as a host.
And what are the fees that the host charges? Is there a standard fee? Does it vary from location? Is it whatever the host wants to set?
It's whatever the host wants to set. So let's say if you're near a national park, you want your rate to be a little bit higher just because you are more in demand. And even if you have you have electricity on your site, or if you have Wi-Fi available for RVers, you can actually charge a premium. Or if you want to sell firewood, it's whatever amenities you want to add on top of your fee that you set yourself.
Can you give us an estimate ranging from what to what per night as you've put these different sites up?
Yeah, so right now we have $20 a night all the way up to $60 a night. And I assume if you're closer, once we get more hosts, closer to more attractions and more like city-based, I would assume those would go up as well.
Now, if somebody says, well, you know, this makes sense to me, we've got a couple of spots. Do they have to have any particular kind of insurance, or are there any hoops they have to jump through to become a host?
That's a great question, Mike. So we, as Moochdocker, the company actually has an insurance plan. So nobody on the host side needs to have a insurance.
That's a great thing. Yeah.
Exactly.
So for example, I have a little spot in my yard where I have a 30 amp and a pad and all that stuff. All I do is, I'm not going to do this in case any of our fans think I'm going to, cause my RV is out there. But if I were going to, I would simply, open up that spot, give it a description, and I could list it with you, and it would be up there. So it's a great way for people to make a little extra money with their property.
Exactly. Just contact our onboarding specialist and we'll get you set up right away.
Now, let's go back to the RVer who this year in particular has been extremely frustrated as they've traveled the country and they have tried to find a place to stay and campgrounds overfilled, many still partially open. How do they find a spot? Walk us through the procedure. When you go to Moochdocker RV or moochdocker.com, how does the RVer find that spot?
Absolutely. So just go to our website, moochdocker.com, and then go to find a listing. And you can actually browse. There's two ways. You can browse on the map, or you can browse within. You can just select your city or your zip code and browse that way. And you can visit it on your phone or just a regular computer as well.
And then you just contact the host and say, hey, we'll be there tomorrow night at 5 o'clock, and that's all you have to do.
Exactly, yep.
Now, differentiation between the other sites, moochdocker.com, and, you know, places like, well, there's like Harvest Host and RV Overnight Park, Overnight RV Parking, and Boondocker's Welcome. how does MoochDocker.com differentiate between those other sites like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So Harvest Host, definitely, I love Harvest Host, and they definitely want you to stay one night or, and then be on your way. And of course, spend some money at the winery or golf, destination that you're at. And that's how their, business model works. So the host only gets money when you spend money, at the winery or whatever. And then, the Boondockers Welcome, we kind of, compare it to like couch surfing. It's very communal based, and that's a subscription model. Whereas with ours, it's a peer to peer, and both the host, benefits and the RVer benefits. So the host makes money, every time a RVer comes, whereas Boondockers Welcome, they do not.
Right. And overnight RV parking, that's kind of an aggregate site that just lists all sorts mm-hmm. of places. And they're all very helpful sites. I like all of them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Harvest Host, of course, is also a membership site. And MoochDocker, you are not a membership site. It costs us nothing to go on and find a great spot. I'm looking at the site now, and I see some fabulous photographs of some of the places that you have. In areas that I would like to visit, you know, as you visit national parks from Yellowstone, Glacier, Montana, you're not that far from any of them.
Exactly.
And then I see some of them that are literally a driveway. Somebody has a driveway that you can stay in. So
exactly.
Well, we are going to recommend that to our folks to check out as they're looking for places to stay. MoochDocker.com is the website. And if you have some property as well that you want to make available and become a part of all of that, you can go to the site, and there's information on how to become a host as well. Suzanne Lankford has been our guest, and thank you so much. And I know you're sitting by the side of the road in your RV right now, so I'm always kind of worried that I'm going to cause somebody to get in an accident there. So, so when you head back on the highway, just look both ways. But thank you very much, and I know you're going to get lots of checkouts from our audience as they look at MoochDocker.com. Thank you, Suzanne.
Thank you so much, Mike. Have a great day.
All right, again, that website is MoochDocker.com, and great resource. Hey, the interview of the week is brought to you by Sunshine State RVs, where every new motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the continental U.S. Sunshine State RVs, they've been around for a long time. They've been a sponsor of our podcast here for years. We trust these guys. Nick and Craig and the team there have, I think, the largest selection of small motorhomes that you'll find in one location just about anywhere, especially when it comes to used, in-stock, previously owned RVs, ranging from the early 90s to the current year. But a lot of people, they know because they have so many great used RVs, but a lot of people haven't realized how many new RVs Sunshine State has now. Brand new, in-stock. Winnebago Travato, the Winnebago Aero, the Coachman, American Patriot, Fleetwood IROC, many other brands that you know and trust. Small motorhomes, that's what Sunshine State RVs specializes in. They have a huge inventory. And if you buy a new one from them, if you need it, they'll deliver it to your driveway anywhere in the continental U.S. Every RV they sell goes through a very thorough 172-point inspection. They make sure all the mechanical and manual systems work. They have great service. You can trust these guys. Just go to their website and start the dialogue, start shopping. SunshineStateRVs.com. That's the name of the website. All one word, SunshineStateRVs.com.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path, a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
All right, time to go to our off-the-beaten-path correspondents, Tom and Patty Burkett. And today they take us to the land between the lakes.
Hey, Jennifer and Mike. If you drive a long, narrow, dirt and gravel road without a name, almost to the edge of the Cumberland River, you can just get to St. Stephen's Church. The trim one-room building is surrounded by a neat picket fence and presides over a cemetery that has been just as carefully put back in order. That it's here at all is a bit of a miracle.
In 1944, the Tennessee Valley Authority completed the Kentucky Dam on the Tennessee River, and Kentucky Lake began to fill. It's the largest lake east of the Mississippi if you measure by surface area and has a shoreline more than 2,000 miles long. Its creation swallowed up more than a dozen towns and settlements and forced the relocation of thousands of residents. In 1966, Lake Barkley on the Cumberland River finished filling behind Barkley Dam and created the same scenario just a few miles across the ridge. For generations, the area had been called Land Between the Rivers. President John Kennedy worked with the TVA to purchase nearly all of it, more than 250 square miles, and it was renamed Land Between the Lakes. It was turned over to the U.S. Forest Service in 1998, designated a UNESCO World Biosphere Reserve in 2005, and removed from the World Biosphere Program by the Trump administration in 2016.
The biggest town in the strip was Golden Pond, a regional settlement along U.S. 68. The growth of Kentucky Lake had brought fishing and hunting businesses to town, and things were looking up when the purchase was announced, and within a few years, it was a ghost town. Now there are no residents in the entire park. All the buildings have been removed, and the site of Golden Pond is marked by a set of interpretive signs at a turnout. How did the church survive this purge? As the story is told, it was somehow omitted from the maps that were in use during the transition, and the road to it was erased by flooding. 20 years ago, it was rediscovered by hikers, and through an extraordinary effort, descendants of those buried in the cemetery negotiated with the Forest Service to restore the building. Thousands of work hours later, the church is again usable, and the closest Forest Service road has been extended, sort of, to allow access. Our high-clearance road trek had no trouble negotiating it, but you might not want to try it in something that rode lower to the ground. The building and grounds are lovely in the late afternoon light, reminiscent of some of the iconic locations in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park.
Another thing that makes Land Between the Lakes a great destination is its dark sky designation. Find a spot away from the many, many trees to look up at night for one of the best views of the heavens in the eastern USA. To add to your astronomical pleasure, the Golden Pond Planetarium in the middle of the park offers lots of programs and regular nighttime viewings with their telescopes. One of the best programs is Tonight's Sky Live, which gives pointers on where to look and what to see tonight.
While you're at the visitor center, don't forget to buy a token for the Elk and Bison Prairie a few miles to the south. As you drive along the loop, you'll likely see all or part of the park's herds wandering among the trees or grazing in the fields. Both of these animals were once native to most of the eastern USA, and the Trace, the name of the main road running through the park, is a reference to the Buffalo Trace, an ancient migratory path used by both bison and Native Americans for thousands of years.
Farther south still, you'll find the Home Place Farm, where costumed interpreters work the land just as they would have in the mid-19th century. You'll see mules, sheep, pigs, chickens, and a variety of crops being harvested. And the church isn't the only little-known wonder in the park. A long chat with one of the park's rangers may well set you off on your own adventure of discovery out here off the beaten path.
Jennifer and I were listening to that, and we were talking, and we almost missed the ending of it because we were saying...
That sounds absolutely delightful.
And we are close enough to there to actually visit it. So just another great report from the Burkitts off the beaten path. And this episode of the podcast comes to an end. Man, time flies fast when you're having fun.
And that wraps up another episode of the RV Podcast with Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
New episodes are released every Wednesday, and the best way to stay connected is to subscribe to the RV Podcast.
We're in all the popular podcast apps, and you can also listen on the RVLifestyle.com travel blog.
Till next time, happy trails, fellow travelers. We'll be looking for you down the road.
All right, that's this episode. Wherever you're going, drive careful, be safe. Don't forget the RV Lifestyle blog. We had a great time. Thank you so much for putting us in your ears this week, spending time with us, and we'll be back next Wednesday with another edition of the RV Podcast.
Happy trails.